Blog Talk Radio.
Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, friends, sons and daughters, uncles, aunts, and grandparents. I'm so glad you're my family. Oh, I'm so glad you're my family. I'm so glad you're my family.
Family Matters Show here on BTR's World of Ink Network with your host, Keisha Burcham, and myself, V.S. Grenier. It is we're on the 25th of 2012. I know, I'm like trying to remember what day I'm on. Anyways, it's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 p.m. Pacific. So we're glad that you are able to join us today. We actually have a very interesting topic. We were going to have an expert come on and talk with us who's written a few books about divorce. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it, but it's definitely a subject that Keisha and myself are able to talk about because she deals with it all the time, being a counselor within the school districts out there in Nashville. And then I come from a divorce family, so we both felt that this was an important topic. It's something that's definitely on the rise. Everybody knows divorce is a very complex occurrence that takes place within many families. There are therapists who deal with this specifically. Many books have been written about divorce, especially how the effects of divorce is on children and on parents. There's many towns that have programs that work with children of divorced families that are very effective in helping kids come to terms with what's going on. So I hope today's show we're able to share some information with you to help you if you're in the situation or it's something that you and your spouse are contemplating doing, so you can kind of understand the ramifications that happen, because a lot of people feel divorce is just between the husband and wife, and in many cases they don't realize that it affects their children, their in-laws, and all the way out to their friends. It touches everybody's lives. So anyway, so how are you doing, Keisha?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. I came from a divorced home as well, too. So, and you know what? I think that it's quickly becoming more the norm than not. Even if it's not an official divorce, sometimes there weren't official marriages. But I'm finding that when I do these small divorce groups at school, they just get bigger and bigger all the time. We're about half and half. It's going to be to the point where the norm is the divorced family, and I'm going to be doing groups for children that have these strange nuclear families with mom and dad intact.
Yeah, and you know, I was very fortunate until recently, anyways, in my situation. My parents, they divorced when I was 9 years old. Trust me, it was definitely a rocky road for many years. There's back when I was, and I vaguely remember this, but I remember being three. My parents were not happy, and the whole talk of separation was going on, but they did separate twice after that, and then, of course, got back together, and then the last separation did not, which was when I was nine, and it became a final, you know, official divorce, and it was really hard, and I know my mom tried, in her mind, by not talking about it, she thought she was sheltering me. My dad, on the other hand, who knows what was going through his head, and you know, I was very fortunate that even though my parents got divorced for many, many years, they stayed, I use the term friend loosely, but, you know, basically were cordial to each other. My dad remarried pretty much within 6 months after their divorce. I want to say it was six to 8 months after the divorce. They might all say it was a year. It wasn't quite a year. But...
and you know that because you were watching.
Well, yeah, and my birthday is in September, and my parents we spent Christmas together, so they weren't divorced yet, because they were still in the same house. That was our last Christmas that we spent together. And then the following year, when I turned 10, my dad remarried, I think, 2 days. Yeah, his wedding's 2 days or 1 day before my birthday. So, like I said, it was really dang close.
It's interesting in common that you remember those dates and all of that probably more clearly, like you said, your dad might say differently. It's interesting that even when we're grown, kids can remember every detail that the parents thought they were either shielding their children from or just didn't think their kids would notice. And I find it amazing every day how much kids notice and how much parents think that they don't. You know, so they kind of leave things unsaid and kind of skim over things, and, oh, they won't notice, and they are taking it in, even if they say nothing.
I agree, and that's why I have to, you know, really commend my parents and the fact that, you know, that's what I was going to say, is that they stayed friends. I mean, because my mom didn't remarry for 5 years after their divorce, because I was 15 when she remarried, but, you know, my dad, even after she remarried, they would still... I'm not saying that they were always nice to each other, because I know they had fights. They thought I wasn't around or an earshot, and they still had their fights after the divorce, of course. But, you know, they got to a point, especially when I was in my teens, where my dad would actually travel out with his new wife, even after my sister was born, and stay at our house and visit in my mom and my stepdad's home, and vice versa. And then when I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, you know, we still got together for the holidays as a whole family. Mm. Which most people are like, wow, you know, it's pretty amazing. And they did that because they didn't want me to feel like you were divorced, that my family was ripped out from underneath me. So they were very good about, I didn't suffer the ramifications of divorce like some kids do. However, recently my youngest sister brought up the reasons for why the divorce happened, and it was... stated that I was the one who had told her all this, which was not true. And unfortunately, it has now put a huge wedge between me and my dad and his side of the family because of it, because it brought up all those old feelings, literally like it was just yesterday. I mean, the wound just opened up like it was just yesterday it all happened. And I mean, here I am, I'm in my late 30s going, wow, you know, it's been how many years? 25 years, and I'm feeling this all again. And so that's kind of one reason why I wanted to do this show, because back when we first talked about doing the show, Keisha, in 2011, when we were approached from the specialist to come talk to us about divorce, this was starting to happen. This was all starting to happen in my life. And I was like, wow, you know, 25 years later, and it's still a raw wound that, you know, you'd think would heal over. And I was really kind of shocked because I have moved on with my life. So I had... You know, it really surprised me, and it made me realize that divorce has a lasting effect that I don't think we really understand yet as a whole. And so, I don't know. It's interesting. I know there's insecurities that come with it for kids. One of the ones I have, and you know, I don't know if I'm sure you can share some more that you have with children, but my biggest one is, you know, unfortunately, yeah, my parents didn't get along, but the main thing that really pushed my parents apart was my dad went and had affairs to try and push my mom away. So when I got married, I had a real insecurity about my husband doing the same thing to me. And my husband has worked so hard in our marriage to make me feel secure, knowing that that's a real huge thorn for me and a real huge hurdle to completely trust in him. Even though I try and I do and we work through it, and it's something we communicate, and that's the other thing I want to talk about, because unfortunately I have friends who've also come from divorce and they haven't communicated those fears with their spouse, and then it becomes a different reason that they end up in a divorce because they're not being honest about their insecurities. So what have you seen, Keisha, with kids and going, being from a family of divorce and kind of probably having friends who have been divorced that you kind of see are some of the different things that can kind of come up that we don't realize when we're in the situation?
Well, I see a lot of different issues. My parents were divorced back when I was like 2. My mother remarried very briefly, and he was still married to someone else, actually. It was annulled, and she was married again, and she's married to this day to my second stepfather. I can't say that the divorce was a big effect for me because I didn't know my dad until much later, and he did not. I saw him maybe once every 3 years. He'd just show up. I kind of met him when I was 15, when I was rebellious and went to live with him. But as far as experiencing the trauma of a family that came apart, I cannot say I did that, but my daughter did. When my daughter and her stepdad, who I had been married to since she was two, when we got divorced, it was much more traumatic than I ever dreamed. I had not had a relationship with a father figure really in my life. She did. Looking back now, I didn't respect it. I didn't realize that's what I was doing. But I was so relieved to get out of the marriage. I was almost elated. She has told me since, she's 30 now, turned 30 Monday. She's told me since, because it was a huge struggle, that because I was okay, she wanted to be okay too. And she had a biological father who was involved in her life, but the stepdad had been the day-to-day. And it really uprooted her status, kind of. A lot of kids feel like, and I thought the stigma was long over. You know, I'd lived with divorced parents all my life. Didn't really have any feelings about, the stigma of my parents' divorce. It just was. So I didn't realize that stigma was going to affect her. I did not realize that she worried about how she looked to other people. I didn't realize that even though she was covering it well, and that is a hallmark for tweens, when they're 10, 11, 12, they will appear unfazed, partially because they don't really know what they're supposed to feel, and partly because they're at a place where they do have some I don't know if it's empathy or probably more sympathy for their parents, and they don't want to cause any more trouble. That's kind of how they might perceive it. But what happens when they stuff those feelings is that it starts coming out in other ways, and my daughter immediately became a behavior problem. It took forever to put two and two together. She got really out of control. All kinds of things happened. It can just have some really far-reaching consequences that you don't predict. I would say to parents, because that's what I deal with mostly at school, parents who are either, like I was, kind of ignorant or so preoccupied with the divorce, what the other person did, revenge, the affair, that it's bleeding over into their children's lives. A lot of parents would condemn other parents for doing exactly what they're doing because they're too close to the forest to see the trees. And they put their kids in the middle, even though if you asked them, they'd say they'd never do that. They'd ask their kids to choose sides and have a loyalty factor with simple questions. Parents never need to ask the child about what's going on in the other home. They never need to ask the child what the other parent is doing, who they're doing it with. Please tell him I need child support. They've got to be left out of it completely. They really don't even need to choose any part of their visitation because, once again, you get the loyalty thing. When parents dump that on the kids, okay, where do you want to be every other weekend? The child immediately has to choose, and that puts them in that loyalty position. And some parents push it off on the kid as a way of showing the other parent how happy where they want to be. And sometimes it's because the parent thinks they're doing the child a favor by giving them choices. Children aren't ready to make those kind of choices. Even when they're 13 and 14 and the state says, you know, yeah, the child can choose, the parents still need to have as much of a deciding factor as they can to take that out of the children's hands. It doesn't always need to be there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
There's a big
agree.
Long spiel for you.
Yeah. No, and I completely agree. I mean, you know, like I said, I was fortunate where my parents really worked things out. I mean, I've seen the nasty side too. I've had a few friends who had parents who went through divorces, and it was just, they couldn't even be in the same room with the teacher talking about what was going on with their child without them wanting to rip
each other's
throats out. And I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Now, I was lucky, my parents never really played me against each other. I was the other way, where I played my parents against each other because I was mad at them. But the bad thing was, and I think that's why I like this conversation, because, you know, we're both on opposite sides of the fence on how divorces affect our lives. With me, my parents tried to get along. They tried to, as much as my dad was around, because he was a pilot and was hardly ever around to begin with anyways, when he was there, when it was a major choice and my mom was like, you need to be here kind of thing, and they would try and stand together to confront me or deal with me. For me, I mean, I'm sure my dad says, I know my dad says stuff about my mom, and I, same with my mom, I know she said stuff about my dad. I mean, that's just, I'd be naive to think any different. They really try not to do it in front of me. So I drew a lot of my conclusions based on their actions, which I don't think parents realize that when something like that's going on, that kids pick up even more. I mean, as adults, I mean, even if we have we're married to our spouse, and I'll say happily married, meaning, you know, as happy as it can be, depending on whatever circumstances are going on in a home, because, I mean, I don't always get along with my spouse. But, you know, kids pick up on that. You know, my kids have no problem pointing out when I've done something wrong to me, and everything be great in the family, and we can have trying times in the family. It doesn't matter. They have no problem telling me. In a divorce, that kind of sensory heightens with kids. They're even more aware of your faults as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom I viewed very weak, and I viewed my dad as a very big hypocrite. And that stayed with me until I was about 22 years old. And it made it very hard.
That's very common for them to be very critical of both of the parents.
Yeah, and trying to deal with a teenager who basically has very little respect for you, and you don't know why, because you've forgotten about the fact that you've gone through this divorce because you've moved on with your life. That's where it all stemmed from. It really did. Looking back now in hindsight, I realized I was like that because I had already made my, you know, opinion of them from that divorce, and it stayed with me for a very long time. And anything they did. Yeah.
And I think it bleeds over into other relationships as our childhood, you know, I'm not one of these kind of counselors that gets stuck in childhood patterns and blames everything that happens, but I do believe that the romantic relationships, and romantic may not be the right word, but the couples that we see growing up, the ones closest to us, our parents, mm-hmm. we cannot help but model some things after that, good, bad, or otherwise, because it's simply all we know. And I think that there's a lot of codependency in today's world that comes from perhaps some of those kind of things. I actually had my daughter recently tell me that my daughter has had some trouble with her husband, and he's been a cheater. Now, she's taken him back more times than I would do. But as I got to thinking about it this last time, because she told me, she actually made the statement to me that she thought I could have perhaps tried harder in that marriage. Now, this coming from my 30-year-old daughter, whose mm-hmm. stepfather I divorced at 11, honestly, she didn't know the details of that divorce and didn't need to, and I'm not going to share them all with her today.
Right.
I stayed in that marriage for 9 years. I was not happy. I was not abused or anything like that. I wanted to stay because I'd made a commitment, but I just couldn't. And I got to say, it really pricked at me, although I didn't let her know, that she was telling me what I might could have worked harder in. We went to counseling and everything. It didn't pan out, but it told me that she still has some issues with it. And I wonder if the reason why she continues to stay with a husband that I feel like does not treat her with the respect that women deserve, that people deserve, mm-hmm. if there's this issue stemming from a marriage that she wanted so badly to work and didn't, and her pain and her issues of abandonment that come with that. If there's a deep fear in her that's making her codependent because she's afraid of feeling abandoned again somewhere in the mess of our emotions that we kind of get stuck in as children.
Right.
That's a real hard thing for me to face right now. Again, nothing's intentional. We do the best we can with our kids with what we've got. Hindsight's 20/20. But I do think that because, like I said in the beginning, it's become such a normal thing, not so much make light of our kids' feelings, but maybe we just make these assumptions that they will muddle through, because they do, but maybe we don't recognize some of the baggage early enough to sort of deal with it. And a lot of times they will hide it. But those little things like becoming really critical of the parent, maybe, you know, withdrawal, turning more and more to friends and boyfriends, girlfriends, and even drugs and stuff, refusing to talk about it with you. They may talk about it with everybody else. You may hear through the grapevine how upset they are, but when you ask them, oh, they're fine. They don't want to talk to you necessarily about it, and I guess that's because, in a way, you're sort of the enemy at the moment. You've kind of messed up their world, and even kids just kind of understand why still have problems with it. Even those who've been dealing with all kind of fighting at home. And I have kids that say, I'm glad they got divorced. I was sick of the yelling. I was sick of the screaming. And that may be true, but I think there's still, I think it still affects the way they view relationships on the whole. And it doesn't, they don't get to see how a real functional kind of relationship ought to work. And I don't know where we see those anymore or how you specifically define functional. But I do think that it stays with us for a very, very, very long time. I never married again. I've been divorced for 20 years and probably won't. And I think I probably have a bad taste in my mouth about marriage. There'll be no more children, so that's not going to be a problem for anybody. But I think that those attitudes we get early on stay with us, and I think they stay with our children as well.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree. I was reading an article, preparing for our show, and, they talked about how, besides divorce being very traumatic and, and how it overpowers children that are involved, one thing it says is that, they don't have the tools and the inexperience to manage, which, as you've mentioned, the overwhelming feelings. And the biggest thing that most kids fear is like you said, the abandonment, everything that they've had, they're losing, it's being pulled away from, and there's nothing, they have no control, no way to stop it. And so it carries into a lot of things. I mean, I know my son, luckily, I mean, he wasn't even born yet when I broke up with his father, so he never experienced that at all. And but for me, unlike how you mentioned with your daughter, she's, and trust me, I mean, I don't have the attitude like, oh, if it doesn't work, I'm just going to walk away, because I don't have that attitude yet. But it took me a long time to, after that relationship went into the toilet, to even reconsider marrying anybody, because I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm pregnant. I'm leaving this guy. I'm 8.5 months pregnant already, and our relationship's not even working now. I was 28 when I met my husband that I have now, and I dated a lot of people, but my walls went up more. I became more mm-hmm. guarded because I just didn't want to watch my life ripped out from underneath me a third time. Because you feel helpless. I mean, and not that the relationship with him totally triggered all that, but it did bring back some of that, and it was just like, ugh,
Overwhelming feelings.
It is an overwhelming feeling, and a lot of people fear it. And unfortunately, the one thing that worries me with the generations behind me, and so I'm talking the generations that are now hitting their early 30s and all of the kids in their 20s, I really don't want to pinpoint the high school students because they're still figuring out who they are and how they're going to view the world. But at least the 20-somethings and early 30-year-olds, And I see this because my sister's within that, my sister right directly below me is in that age group. And when she got married, I sat her down and I looked at her because, she kind of, not that she knows all the details of what happened in my dad's first marriage by any means, and wasn't my place to tell her. And my dad told her what, what information he wanted to share with her. And so whatever, but I looked at her and I said, are you sure this is who you want to spend the rest of your life with? Because it just, in my opinion, from some of the people I've worked with that were younger than me, the attitude is, well, if it doesn't work, I can just get a divorce. I mean, that's literally the statement that would come out of people's mouths. And I'm like,
yeah, I think there's a lot of that.
And I'm like, this isn't like you're dating somebody, you just break up. And unfortunately, I think that somehow that's what's kind of happened with marriage. It's kind of like, well, it's like dating, but, even a little bit more committed than when you're just dating because now you're married, but you can always get divorced and get out. I'm just starting thinking, I'm not saying you should stay with somebody if they're like treating you like crud or spending all the money at the gambling table so the kids are going hungry because they have a gambling problem or alcohol problem, whatever the problem is, and you can't obviously fix it. I mean, definitely dire circumstances, unlike our grandparents and great-grandparents who would stay in the relationships anyhow because you're married and, you don't get divorced. I think that we went from it was okay to get divorced in those situations to like, well, if it doesn't work, I just get divorced. And I'm just like,
yeah, it's
okay.
Like we don't really, if your thought is if it doesn't work out, I'll get a divorce, then maybe you need to not get married yet because it shouldn't be, it wasn't designed to be something, it was supposed to be a pretty final commitment. So if you're not ready for, you know, like you said, everything other than, you know, abuse or severe issues of that sort, which if you date long enough, it is pretty high likelihood that you are going to discover drug problems, gambling problems, abuse problems prior to marriage. If the slightest trace of those red flags are there, and typically they are as adults, you typically don't have these problems onset in your 30s and 40s. It can happen. It can happen. But many, many times, the red flags were there, and you thought it would get better, or they said it would get better, or you overlooked it because you were in starry-eyed love, and it, those things didn't get better, and you were already married. I think, you know, we got the prenups and everything, because, you know, if you've got to sign a prenup, maybe you're not quite ready to get married. I mean, maybe that's not, people say marriage is a dying institution. From my religious background, I really find that sad, but at the same time, I think there's entirely too much divorce. So perhaps we shouldn't, you know, leap into marriage so quickly. I think it's got this kind of fairy tale thing going on, and we just, you know, do it, doesn't work out, we get divorced, move on, marry someone else. It's lost its, it's not reverent anymore. Doesn't seem to be that just real strong commitment that, like you said, back in the day, our grandparents had. And yes, sometimes it was not the wisest thing to stay, but a lot of times they had to stay. I think it comes with independence. You know, there was a time when women had to stay if they wanted to eat and take care of their children. Well, now, if a woman leaves, it doesn't necessarily, now granted, research will tell you that women's financial status falls much more so and more often than men after a divorce, but it's not like a woman can't get a job and can't be self-supporting. A lot of times it's the men that don't do so well afterwards, and there are always those child support issues that come into play, and those can greatly affect the child. You know, a divorce is kind of like a death, really. It's a grieving process that kids go through. They not only lose the family as they know it, many times they lose their homes, their friends, their everything they know. Many times they have to move. I mean, they have to move to a whole other state or something, and they've lost all of their stability and security. And those things will show up, you know, in behaviors and such, but it's a real loss of everything. I mean, how hard is it for adults to pack up everything and move, even for a great new job? Most people won't. But kids, like you said, have no choice. They got to go. And they've got to deal with all the stuff that goes with it. And as an adolescent, going to a brand new school, I don't know how much more stressful things can be than to be a 7th or 8th grader and have to walk into a school where kids already have their little cliques. You don't know anybody. You know, you're like prey walking into the lion's den, you know. Hopefully somebody will be good to you. Hopefully you don't have any differentiating characteristic that will make you some kind of a target, because you're going to be one when you walk in new anyway. All that stuff can just compound the whole issue of the divorce. And sure, it can make kids mad at their parents. Look at what you have put me through. But kids do need to be constantly reassured that they have nothing to do with it, that it's not their fault. Some kids will believe that it is, especially if parents have fought over the child, in the sense of, a lot of times, you know, kids don't come with rule books, and sometimes parents don't discuss before they get married how are we going to discipline our children. And then when it comes time to do that, you have great differences on what should be done and what shouldn't be done, and parents fight about that. There are probably a lot of other underlying issues, but the kids think, well, they fought over me a lot, I must have caused the divorce. And kids really never cause a divorce, and they need to always be reminded of that. That's one thing we have, that's kind of a mantra in divorce group. We tell them they have to repeat it several times every time. It's never their fault. They can't prevent it. And they also, unfortunately, cannot put their parents back together. A lot of kids will live with this idea that maybe they'll get back together. And, yes, there are rare cases where that happens, but most of the time it doesn't, and it's probably best to go ahead and let that's not going to happen. Don't carry that around with you, because, you know, you need to go ahead and deal with the fact that it's over, as opposed to carrying around this hope that we might get back together. That usually doesn't happen, and often if it does, it doesn't last. There's a breakup again, and so they have to go through it twice. They just need to be separate somehow, although they're in the middle, still somehow separate from the actual divorce itself.
Yeah. Now here's something too that I've seen happen as well. which I saw, I was totally unaware of when I was growing up, and I started seeing one, of course, when I was in college, and I, you know, got into the adult world, when I say adult world, into the working world of my adult life, is I had friends who were, like, in their 20s. They graduate, like, the last kid graduates from high school, and is, like, in their second year of college, and all of a sudden, like, my parents are getting divorced. They've been married for, you know, X amount of years, and all of a sudden they're getting divorced, and I can't understand it. Unfortunately, you know, going back to, you know, don't take divorce lightly and the whole, well, if it doesn't work out, get divorced. The other flip side, too, is I think sometimes people stay in a marriage and wait till their kids are adults before they get divorced because they feel like that we need to stay married because we have kids. Yeah. And I don't always think that that's the best way either. Because now the kids feel like, great, so I made you stay married and miserable just so you wouldn't wreck my life, you know?
Yeah, so I think I don't know what the right answer to that is either, because I do think if it's dangerous to the child, if there's drug abuse, if there's all those, you know, the obvious danger signs, then you need to do it. As far as staying with your spouse for your kids, that's a real gray area. Some kids will tell you they're very thankful their parents did that. Some will say, you know, I wish they had gotten a divorce. Some will, like you said, maybe say, I can't believe now I'm responsible for all those years you were miserable. I don't know if there's a specific answer to that one or even a best practice. I guess it's probably very individual.
Yeah, I agree, and that's such a tough one, but that's definitely one that has sprung up a lot more as well that wasn't, I don't think, as common a long time ago, where parents will stick it out, and then they have all the screaming and the shouting and all that, and the kids are like, I want my parents to just get divorced, and then they, you know, like I said, they get to college, and their parents might get divorced, like, oh, so now that I'm grown up and moved on, I mean, you know, I know some kids are relieved, and then others are just like, you know, they still, it's a different layer of guilt now for them. So it's so hard, you know, with this. And the hard thing is, as a parent, you know, and I can talk about this because even though my husband and I have never talked about divorce, we've never talked about separating, we have had fights where we strongly disagree with each other. I mean, it's just natural. You have two, you know, people, and everybody has their own opinions. It's rare you have people who constantly get along. And, you know, my husband's more giving than I am, thank goodness, because I'm pretty dang stubborn. But there are times where he is very adamant about his feelings on something. And, you know, we, of course, try and have our conversation in our bedroom, but sometimes the kids can hear us because we get a little mad and our voices will raise. And when those times happen, I walk out of the room, you know, they look at me and they're like, is everything okay? I mean, my youngest ones, of course, they don't quite understand. They'll just ask me, like, why, you know, mommy, why are you crying? Because sometimes, you know, I'll come out, my eyes are all puffy because I'd been crying. Or, you know, why was daddy yelling? Or why were you yelling? You know, questions come out, and it's like, you don't want to tell them the whole thing, but I always have to sit down and reassure my kids, you know, everything's okay, mommy and daddy just weren't getting along, just like when you and your brother and sister don't get along, and someone pulls each other's hair, and we have to tell you guys to stop it, I said, just, we were having words instead, and, you know, but it makes me realize that kids pick up on that, even that, and it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, you can just see the fear in their faces,
and it's just like, totally pick up on it.
Yeah, and as a parent, you're like, you want to try and explain it. You wish you could explain it to them, but in the same light, you're like, you know, they're too young. So when you're going through divorce, it's so hard because if you're trying to decide what's best, as a parent, you know, you really would love to ask your kids, you know, well, what do you think? But unfortunately, they're too young to really understand the whole scope of things. So I really feel for parents that are in that situation because, you know, what do? You can't go ask your kids, you know, well, what do you think?
No.
You know, how would you feel about this?
Sit in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, because it puts
them
right in the middle.
Have to take sides.
Mm-hmm. So I understand.
What the best you can at the moment. And I think that just goes back to life. You know, as it is, we do the best we can at the moment. You may have some regrets. You've got to get real clear headed about it, which can be hard when you're very, very angry. You know, sometimes a parent needs to get away and talk with friends or even a therapist or somebody to get a real clear handle on it and talk about what's appropriate to tell my child and what's not. You don't need to tell your child about the affair. I guarantee you they know it anyway. They've heard you arguing. Mm-hmm. They've been at the door listening. They know. They know stuff.
Yeah.
Those kids do. Now, maybe not 2 and 3 year olds, but those tweens, they have heard the innuendos. They have heard the accusations that we think we've hidden from them. There's a lot of stuff they know. But it's not something to bring to them, for them to form an opinion about, because ultimately they're going to form an opinion about the parent, and that puts them in that loyalty position. if they ask you questions, you have to answer them. But I think if your child comes to you and says, you know, did daddy have an affair, you know, I think your best bet would probably be to say you might want to ask dad that, whether true or not, you know, because you'll end up with the child siding and or feeling like they have to side. And that's, yeah. It's awkward. It's awkward to know exactly what to tell them. There's some things they may need to know. I mean, you know, parents go to jail. Sometimes you've got to honestly tell them why they went to jail and you divorced them because of it. I mean, there are some facts that just have to be told. But I think you have to get really clear about what's really important to tell. Is this helpful or is this hurtful? Is this necessary or is this just a little bit of something I want them to know about that sorry parent? You have to really separate yourself from your emotions. And again, at a time when emotions are so heightened, that's a pretty tall order.
It is a tall order, and I agree, because, you know, that's definitely the thing that I was going to say as parents, that we have to really sit there and reason, you know, what is the best information for the kids to know, and how far do you go with, you know, telling them certain stuff. And also you have to take into consideration their age and how, and even though one person, you know, you have a six-year-old, your six-year-old is very different from somebody else's six-year-old and how they handle things, so you have to take that into account. And so you have to reason all that out. One thing that I know is really important as something that parents really need to consider, my mom, unfortunately, this is the one rule that she just didn't get through her head, which is don't push the kids to talk about divorce. You know, it's hard, and as a parent, you know, you want to invite the conversation. You want to have them express themselves, but I know the more my mom pushed her, the more my mom asked me, you know, are you upset your dad's not coming this weekend, or are you upset your dad didn't show up for your birthday for the umpteenth million time? You know, she would try and talk to me, and because she's a very compassionate person, so that's just her nature. Unfortunately, it just made me even more determined to not want to ever talk about it, and to just bottle it all up and put it in, like, this, you know, dark attic area of my brain and never think about it. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of what happened in the early 10 years of my life, I pretty much, unless I look at pictures, I can't recall memories or exact instances right away. I have to see a picture or hear music or something that triggers that memory, because I've locked them up so tight that I just can't remember stuff easily. You know, obviously, except recently after everything that happened, it triggered a whole bunch of memories I didn't even remember I even had from those years, because I just, that was how I coped with it, because I felt that everyone wanted me to talk about it. And for me, I was like, I didn't want to talk about it. The more they pushed, it was like, the more I was going to lock it away. So, you know, when kids are ready, they'll come talk. That's, you know, I've assumed to be a 16-year-old, and not that he's ever gone through anything traumatic like that, and, you know, other than being moved from one state to another when he was in his late years of elementary school, which, you know, is still pretty traumatic being moved away from most of your family. You know, I've learned quickly with him that the more I push, the more stubborn he's going to be. So I wait until he comes to me. And in general, he does. It might not be as soon as I would like, but he does come around. So, you know, and if the kids don't, you know, months pass and you can tell that they need to talk but they're not talking, you know, definitely find an outside source, a friend, family member, you know, a therapist. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they'll find some
parents.
Other
a lot of times, yeah. They'll talk to their friends' parents, and they'll let you know if there's something you need to know, or somebody at their church or at their school, or somebody. I'm always amazed at the things that students will tell me as a counselor at school, and I sit there and think sometimes, oh, if your parents only knew what you were telling me, and maybe you don't feel comfortable telling them, or maybe, you know, or they're telling me one story. And you're telling me, because kids are pretty honest about what's going on. And then, you know, I've got a call from mom trashing dad, and a call from dad trashing mom, and both of them saying, oh, that parent is causing our child trouble in school. And, you know, I'm thinking, no, it's y'all putting your child in the middle of it that's causing your child problems in school. It's you're calling me, telling me how horrible that other parent is, and you're telling your child that too. And then the other parent is calling me to tell me how, no, it's the other parent's fault. And the fact is, the child is going under, and the parents cannot see, like I said, the forest for the trees, that it's not that the child has school problems. It's not that the child has attention deficit. It's that you and your ex are constantly fighting in front of your child. And even if you're not screaming and yelling right in front of your child, the little innuendos are going back and forth, and your child is not lost on this. and they're in the middle of it. And, yeah, they're distracted. And, yeah, they're upset. And, yes, they may act out. But it's not really until y'all can get on the same page and at least be civil with one another, there's very little here at school that I can do other than be a listening ear. But the problems that your child is having at school are very often stemming from the problems that you're having at your homes that they feel in the middle of. Even though I'm sure your intent is not to put them in the middle of it, you're not really being careful enough about that because your kids know. I mean, when y'all come to a conference at the school together, like you said, you can't speak to each other. You can't look at each other. If there's that much tension in the school when there's a conference because y'all are in the same room or have to set them up separately, your child knows that you set them up separately or that you can't be in the same room together because you act the same way or probably worse when you're not, you know, in front of a bunch of teachers that you're trying to look okay in front of. I mean, all that stuff is not hidden from the children. I think the parents really think they've got it all hidden and that they're, you know, totally innocent of any fault here. And again, it's a hard place. You're going to make mistakes, but some of it seems to me to just be glaring, and they're so still lost in it all that they cannot really see the damage that they're doing and cannot don't realize how much their child is suffering from some of the careless things they're doing. I think it's just carelessness. I don't think it's intentional. It's very careless.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And the other thing that goes with that, too, is, you know, holding kids accountable. Now, I have no problem holding kids accountable who are acting out. I mean, heaven, you know, knows that my parents many times had to hold me accountable for my actions. And I definitely did things, and not because my parents got divorced, not because I was having, you know, no dad in the picture, you know, father issues.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard
yeah,
those excuses.
Yeah, we can't use it as an excuse.
And, yeah, and I look back, and even now my parents will ask me, like, why did you do that? I'm like, had nothing to do with the fact that my dad was not in my life. You know, I only went 5 years without a dad. My stepdad walked up when I was 15 and was very active in my life. I'm like, I don't have daddy issues, you know. I didn't do things just to act out. Now, I'm not saying that there were probably, when I was little, there was probably some stuff I did, but and I definitely tormented my stepmom because I was very pissed off she was marrying my dad. I had no problem giving her hell for the first 3 years of his marriage to her.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other area, the dating and the remarriage.
Yeah, that's a whole other. But the other thing, too, is when parents are doing stuff that is, like you said, that is causing the child to live in turmoil, basically, and feeling like they're, you know, they're the tug of rope between the mom and the dad, or the dad and the dad, or the mom, and this, you know, doesn't matter. In this day and age, I don't, you know, whatever the situation is with whoever the parents are, you know, I think when it comes to accountability, you know, definitely hold kids accountable, even if they're acting out about the divorce. You can't just go, well, it's because of the divorce and excuse it, because then their behavior will get worse, and they think they can use it as an excuse.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But if you're the one who's instigating this problem as a parent, you need to also take accountability, let the kid know what they're doing isn't correct, but not come down on them like you're completely innocent, because you're not, you know. And so I think that's an important thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I've seen that. I've seen that with my own parents in some instances where, you know, my mom was more than happy to say it was because, you know, it was obviously in my later life that something will get brought up. She's like, oh, yeah, and I know it was because your dad da-da-da-da-da, and this, of course, was in my 20s, so it didn't matter anymore. I'm looking around going, no, you were just as bad in that situation as well, and why I did what I did. You know, it
yeah.
was directed at both of you guys kind of thing, so don't think you're all innocent in
mm-hmm.
that, you know. So I agree.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, we did talk about the talking negatively around kids when you're divorcing or separated, talking about divorce, officially are divorced. I don't care if it's 10 years, 20 years later. It still drives me nuts in my 30s when something – we'll be watching a movie, and somebody in a movie does exactly what my other parent thinks that the other person did in the relationship, and they have to point, oh, that's what, you know, so-and-so did, or, oh, that's exactly like, you know, your father. Or,
oh,
yeah.
After all these years, they still point it out.
Oh, every so often, oh, yeah, every so often. It's. I'm telling you, divorce, it lasts with people forever. I don't care what people say it does.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 25 years later. But every so often, it's like an under-breath comment. But the point is, mm-hmm. I hated it when I was a kid. My parents didn't do it in earshot. They didn't think they were doing it in earshot of me. Of course, unfortunately, I'd hear my mom on the phone with a friend or her sister and vice versa with my dad. But, you know, the point is that's like the worst thing you can do around your kid. It's just, I don't, and unfortunately, I think my parents, and I'm not saying that they try and get digs at each other because they don't, but I think that now that I'm older, especially after this whole blow up recently with my dad, I've noticed that even my siblings who are from my dad's second marriage, because they do know some stuff, they have no problem making the under breath comments, thinking that it's been long enough now that it's not a big deal. And it's like, yeah, okay. It is.
It's interesting. If it's been long enough that it's not a big deal, though, why does it even come up? You know, that is odd.
That's
the
my
way
point.
Things linger. Yeah, that it lingers.
Yeah, it lingers. And so I really hope anybody listening today, you know, I don't, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I mean, there are times I'm watching something and I, you know, I'll make a comment because it reminds me of something that happened back then. And it's because it's literally, like I said, I didn't realize until the big blow up back around, it was like around September is when everything blew up, how that even though I really honestly thought that those wounds were like, not just scarred over, but, you know, new skin had grown and it was like all fresh and new and life was great because I was going along with both sides of my family and they were both getting along as well. And it's like, no, it just had the Band-Aid on it all these years.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's still really a raw wound. And in some cases, you know, people maybe have moved on that well, but you just never know how far someone really has moved on from that situation.
My
stepdad.
Well, it starts to affect some choices you make or something.
Yeah, I met my stepdad because he was divorced before he met my mom. They didn't have any kids in their marriage. For him, that's not a sore subject. You can talk about whatever happened, you know, in his marriage, in his first marriage if you want to, and he just looks like, yeah, uh-huh. I mean, so his wounds are completely healed from it. But for whatever reason, and I don't know if it's just my family, but I've talked to a few other people, when kids are involved, I think the wounds heal slower anyways. Just because there are more people involved and more people who are affected by the results. So here's another
one. If you're a child, you're carrying it because it's a part of you, because it was at a stage in your life where you were growing and you were being imprinted and your ideas were being formed. So it's something that became a part of you. It wasn't something that you took and then let go of. It happened during your formative years. So it's more like a part of who you are than an experience that you had.
Yeah, and I agree. I feel like that, and actually I'm even working on a book that it's not specifically about my parents and their whole divorce, because I'm not trying to write like a memoir about them, but, you know, basically how that has affected me, choices I've made in my life that I did make because of that, choices I made that people would say that I made because of it that I didn't. It's kind of to debunk some of the, and I'm not saying there aren't people who run around and do, you know, have daddy issues because of divorces. I know that is very true, but I think that a lot of people use that as an excuse when they're even in their 40s, and you're like, okay, it's been how many years now? Mm-hmm. I don't think so anymore. But, you know, so it's based on just kind of just my perception and experiences with it, because, yeah, it very much defines a lot of who I am. A lot of my personality, and my husband knew that when I married him, because I was like one of the first things I told him after we had been dating for a few months. I'm like, let me explain why I'm the way I am. Let me explain why I have these walls up, and where they come from. I was really lucky because I surrounded myself with people who were able to help pointing those things out to me. So it made me very aware and more perceptive of why I was doing stuff. So I really hope that, you know, if you have a kid who's struggling, you can surround them with that kind of a support group, because I don't know where I would have been without them. I probably would have been definitely in a different life, for sure. But the other thing, too, which I mentioned just a second ago about my stepmom, one of the things that I don't think parents think about, and this comes more for families that are getting divorced because of affairs, and unfortunately, I mean, I know women are just as bad as men, but unfortunately men are still on the higher end of the spectrum. And I think with women who have affairs, they don't tend to jump right back into marriage or have their boyfriend move in with them right away. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but on the norm, right, women don't do that right away,
right,
because they understand. And it's just a mother nurturing characteristic that women typically have, that we're aware of that. So we kind of protect, and we want to protect our kids because we don't want them to get hurt by now this new male in their life. But men don't have that nurturing quality as strong.
Yeah, they'll jump right back into something else.
Mm-hmm. They'll get, like, for example, my dad, you know, it wasn't quite a whole year, and he's married to someone else. And I can tell you that I had no problem directing a lot of my anger, even though she wasn't the person he had the affair with. She was a completely new person in the picture. I had no problem taking it all out on her. I mean, we would go grocery shopping, and if you thought kids with autism can throw a fit, I probably, as a normal child, because I was aware of what I was doing versus a kid that's autistic, yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of people thought I had autism because I was pretty bad. And I was doing it as a, you know, obviously non-autistic kid. And I mean, I'm talking like when they have, like, you know, kids that are severely autistic, they have like those really bad temper tantrums. Yeah, I was probably about 50% worse than that because I was consciously doing it to my stepmom, had no problem doing it. And it was because of that. And I think parents need to take that in consideration that, you know, these kids are trying to adjust to everything changing. And, you know, you had made the comment about how, you know, your social status changes. Mine dramatically changed. I went from living in, you know, almost $500,000 homes to low-income housing with my mom because she was on a banker salary. I mean, complete economic reversal for me. That was really hard, really, really, really hard. And then my dad, you know, of course, went on still living in decent homes while my mom and I were living in apartments, you know, being subsidized. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, that's a huge thing, especially for a girl, especially for an adolescent or pre-adolescent, when that's such a huge thing, the clothes and the where you live.
Yeah.
That can be huge.
It was. And then this new woman all of a sudden, you know, enters the picture on top of it. And, you know, he's going on vacation with her. And, you know, it's and he bought a boat. And, I, of course, would get to go boating with him when I spent the summer with him. But it was just kind of like, hello? And so I think parents really need to think about that. Like, you're changing everything on their life. Don't just think, well, they're already going through all these changes, so we'll just, you know, they can deal with one more change because there's all this huge, you know, change happening anyways. One more thing isn't going to make a difference to the fire. And, well, it does. It makes a huge difference. Yeah, I mean, I think kids get more frustrated, more confused, more hurt, and definitely more fearful because now – it's one thing, you know, feeling like you're losing your, you know, whatever parent it is, you know, their love. Now you're like, oh, great. So I'm not just afraid of losing your love. Even if I have your love, now I have to basically compete with this other person for the attention. And that's really how kids look at it, I think, in many situations.
And especially when there are other kids involved. When your dad suddenly has new stepchildren or when he and the new woman have a baby. Well, that can be devastating for some kids. They feel totally left out of the picture, like they've been replaced. There's competition with those new siblings, whether they existed or whether they come to exist. They can be, and not always, sometimes you can be really close, but a lot of times those are competition. And he's treating them differently than he treats me, or you know, they get more stuff. You know, they're the ones living in the nice house I used to live in, and we're in an apartment, and he's providing for them, and I'm not getting what I used to get. And that can be a huge source of resentment.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And believe it or not, I know parents think, oh, well, you know, after their teens are over or whatever and they're in their adult life, that goes away. I'm here to tell you it doesn't. And, you know, I'm very close with my sister beneath me. My brother is only a year and a half older than my son. And then my youngest sister, of course, is a lot younger. So I'm not as close to them. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not close, but we're not as close as normally you would be with your siblings. And I see it because, and I see even with them, because what happens is, like, when my dad helps me out, and I won't say which one, but, you know, the three, one of them has said, well, why is he doing that for her? You know, he won't buy me this, but he'll give, you know, Virginia, you know, this for, you know, whatever. And then, you know, when my sister got married, and I'll bring, you know, I have no problem bringing this up at all, but when my sister got married, My husband and I pretty much paid for our wedding, but we were in our late 20s, so it wasn't a big deal. My dad did help with the reception cost. He paid a third of it, but he paid for everything for my sister's wedding and her honeymoon. And not that I was mad at him for doing that, but I was a little... I wasn't resentful, but I was a little irked by it. I was like, okay, you know, like, what's the deal? And, you know, he has helped them with college, did not help me at all. And so that irked, I mean, not that he paid for everything for college, but he helped them with tuition. He wouldn't even help me with tuition. And that irked me a little bit. So, I mean, and there's been things like, you know, my sister got, when one of my sisters started driving, she was given a used car where my dad bought me a brand new car, and that came up when she got her car. Like, well, you got Virginia, you know, a brand new car. And my dad's like, well, there are some circumstances and why that happened, you know, because he hadn't paid child support and stuff for a few years. So he felt that that was making it up to me kind of thing. But my sister didn't see it that way. So, you know, it does happen. And it doesn't go away once they grow up. You know, I'm now that I'm getting, like I said, closer to 40, I'm more like, whatever. I have my own life, my own kids. My son's going to be graduating soon from high school. I could care less. But I do see it between those three siblings still that every once in a while something that I did as a kid will get brought up. Like, well, when she was a teenager, you didn't get on her case and you let her do this. And I'm just like, okay, guys, you know, I was also a teenager many years different from when you guys were a teenager as well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 20 years older than my brother. I mean, there's a huge difference there, but they don't see it that way. And, yeah, so And I don't think they'll ever go away, some of that back and forth stuff. Hopefully they'll grow out of it like I did, but, you know, who knows. But I agree.
You do notice those little discrepancies. You'd make note of that. Even when you're thinking, I'm way too mature to be thinking like this, you do notice that little stuff. I think that's just normal, you know. He paid for that stuff for her and not for you, and you don't want to say anything, and you're not probably, you know, it's not worth it, but it kind of pricks a little bit because we do look at the way.
And the reality is every kid, even if your parents never get divorced, I mean, my three kids, I can get
divorced. We all do that, don't we?
They all do it, too. It's just when your parents are divorced, it just heightens it a little bit more. You're a little bit more, it's a little bit more of a thorn to you. For whatever reason, it's like, it's because it's the other, you know, sometimes, there's been times I've gone to family reunions, and I shouldn't feel this way. I mean, it's my family. I mean, they were my family 10 years before it was, you know, my dad's new family's family. But I'll walk in and sometimes I feel like they're looking at me going, oh, it's the other wife's daughter. Even though I know they don't really feel that way about me, I just sometimes feel that just because I can't help it. That's how I feel labeled sometimes. And it's hard, you know. And, so, you know, you're right. I mean, sometimes we put those stereotypes on ourselves just for whatever reason. Another thing that I want to bring up is, you know, with family, the biggest thing is even though you're divorced, you know, making sure kids are doing well in school, that they – you know, if they're not quite at college age yet, you know, planning for the college and stuff, you still have to work, even though you're not married anymore, as a team, and be organized and planning the future of your kids, because they are still your kid, no matter what. I think a lot of people think that when they get divorced, and I know some this happens where they get divorced and the kids never see their dad again, or only, you know, at Christmas kind of thing, and they go on with their own life, and you go on your own life, and unfortunately, that's probably the worst thing I've ever seen happen, because the reality is if you're married and you have kids, and obviously, you know, you understand this, Keisha, you know, because you've been through this, that you will always have a tie to your spouse. Now our show's getting to the end, but you always have a tie to your spouse. I mean, you can't ever 100% get away from them if kids are involved, because you will always have your kid with them. So I think parents really need to remember that and realize that, you know, even when they're 25, things are going to happen in that child's life that the two of you are going to have to be there to support that child through. And so it's important to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, it is. You may both have to go to their wedding. You're going to share grandchildren. It's never going to stop.
Yeah. So, well, our show's coming to the end, so we better wrap it up. But I hope that we've shared some topics that you guys, you know, out there that are going through this can think about and put in perspective and consider, because it's not an easy thing. Trust me, I understand that. So does Keisha.
Can they write in
questions
to us if they have some after the show on your
page? Yes, okay. Yes. If you have some questions, you can email us through Blog Talk Radio, or you can go to the World of Ink Network.blogspot.com and you can find today's show blog post and in the comment box, go ahead and post your questions to us. And there's also an email contact on our blog as well. So definitely contact us if you have more questions. We'd be more than happy to answer them or point you in the right direction to get those questions answered, definitely.
All righty then.
All right.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Yes, and we'll be on next month again on the fourth Wednesday of the month. So definitely tune in in February. And we wish everybody a great rest of January.
All righty then. Have a good evening.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Follow me to the world of Venus.